I've been thinking for a long time about bringing the message that I plan to bring this morning. I've been looking at this scripture and considering a message on this subject. And I want you to listen very carefully to me and very prayerfully. And I want you to consider these things. Now, here's the title of the message. What are we to believe? What are we to believe? There's so much religion in this day, so many voices, so many preachers, so many denominations, so many churches. Just what is a man to believe? And John the Apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, makes this statement. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, the word spirit here, anyone can tell you this who knows anything about the scriptures. The word spirit here signifies men, preachers, teachers, who claim to be endowed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, or claim to be endowed with the Spirit of God in order to perform the office of prophet, preacher, or teacher. Now, God does speak through men. He does speak to us by men. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And God does speak through men. Paul said, "We have this gospel in earthen vessels. God hath entrusted us with the gospel. And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So God does give His Spirit to men. And He does endue them with power to preach and to teach. But my friend, what John is saying is every person who claims to be sent of God is not sent of God. Everybody who claims to be God's preacher is not God's preacher. And he's saying here, beloved, believe not every preacher. Believe not every teacher. Believe not everybody who comes to you saying, "I'm sent of God." John says, read on, "But try the spirits." What does it mean to try something? It means to test it. It means to examine it. And John is saying to us, try these preachers. Examine these preachers and teachers. Try them and see if they are of God. For he said, many, note that word, many false prophets, false preachers are gone out into the world. Peter tells us that. He said there were false preachers in Israel, even back in the days of Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah. There were false preachers in the days of the apostles. The apostle Paul was always complaining about the false teachers that had crept in or risen up in the church at Corinth, in the church of Galatia, in other places. And even as there were false preachers in Israel, and there were false preachers in the days of the apostles, there are many false preachers today. And he's telling us here, brethren, beloved, believe not every preacher, but try the preachers, try the teachers, whether they be of God. We must not be dazzled. We must not be impressed by everybody who claims to be holy. We must not be dazzled by everybody who claims to work wonders and do miracles. Our Lord said at the judgment, many are going to say unto me, "Lord, we preached in your name and cast out devils in your name and did many wonderful works in your name." We're not to be impressed by everyone who claims to speak for God, who uses the name God, who carries a Bible in his hand and preaches from a pulpit through a microphone. John says we must try the spirits. We must test and examine these men, whether they be of God. Now, let me tell you something. A false preacher who is usually greedy and covetous, an opportunist, will not tell you that he's a false preacher. But our Lord said, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They come to you disguised as sheep. But on the inside, they're ravening wolves. And Paul says that these false prophets, he calls them apostles of Satan. He calls them the ministers of Satan. He says they'll come to you as ministers of goodness. They'll come to you as ministers of righteousness. For he said, watch this, even Satan himself is changed into an angel of light. Now, my friend, sometimes it takes a discerning eye. It takes a discerning ear. It takes a discerning spirit to determine the counterfeit from the genuine. It takes spiritual understanding of the Word of God to expose false preachers and false teachers. But, I'll get to that in a moment, but there are many obvious signs that anyone ought to be able to detect. There are many obvious signs of false preachers and teachers. It's so obvious that even a person who knows nothing about the Word of God, but has some concept of the holiness of God and the majesty of God and the glory of God, can detect a false preacher. I'll give you a few. First of all, God's prophets, Old and New Testament, God's prophets have never lived lavishly and luxuriously in the world. Now write that down. God's prophets, you go through the whole Bible, and God's prophets and God's preachers have never lived lavishly and luxuriously in the world. They've always been plain men with simple taste. I'm telling you the truth. For example, in the Old Testament, the Levites, they were God's men, God's prophets, God's priests. They never owned any land. All the other tribes had land, owned land, and had homes, but not the Levites. They never owned any land. They ministered about the temple of God. They never owned any estates and any property. They lived with the things of the temple. You know that's so, and I do too. And even so, the Apostle Paul said, they that preach the gospel are to live by the gospel. God meets their daily need in a plain and simple fashion, but abundantly. God's preachers do not wear diamonds, live in mansions, own properties and businesses, nor do they require bodyguards. God's preachers are simple, plain men with simple taste, who walk before their God who supplies their daily need. Now that's an obvious characteristic of God's preacher, a prophet of God. The Apostle Paul made tents to take care of his livelihood and those with him. And when you see these personalities living in their lavish style and luxury, you can mark it down. They're not plain men with simple taste whom God sent. Stay with me now. These are obvious traits. We talk about a man says, God sent me and I got a message from God. I'm going to deliver it to you. Secondly, God's preachers. God's preachers. I'm not talking about preachers in general. I'm talking about God's preachers. Never promote themselves. Never promote themselves. They never exalt themselves. Read the Scriptures. They never exalt themselves. They never put their names on buildings and monuments and memorials. Not God's preachers. No, sir. They are concerned only for the glory of their Lord. They want their names forgotten and His name remembered. They came to John the Baptist and they said, who are you? Are you the Christ? Oh, no. They said, are you Elijah? Oh, no. But who are you? Well, he could have said, I was supernaturally born of Zacharias and Elizabeth when they were old people. The miracle of God. Everybody's always talking about the miracles that got them where they are. Or he might have said, I was filled with the Holy Ghost from my mother's womb. Or he might have said, the Lord said, I was the greatest man born of woman. But he didn't say any of those things. He didn't put out a brochure glorifying himself, bragging on himself, telling of his accomplishments. He said, I'm a Boaz. Who are you? I'm a Boaz. crying in the wilderness, make straight a path for our God. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, I must go down, and He must increase. The Apostle Paul said, I'm nothing. That's right. He said, Apollos is nothing. Peter's nothing. I'm nothing. He said, I'm not one whit behind the chief apostle, though I be nothing. He said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. He said, I'm not worthy to be a preacher. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. That's Paul. And he never took a title. He never referred to himself as Reverend Paul or Dr. Paul or Bishop Paul or Cardinal Paul or Pope Paul. He just said, Paul. Watch it now. A bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, you want to know who God's preachers are? I tell you this. They're plain men with simple tastes. And they're men who never exalt themselves. They never project themselves. They never promote themselves. They never seek to leave memorials to themselves. They never brag on themselves. They're concerned for the glory of God. Now, these are obvious traits. These are obvious characteristics. You say, with mighty few preachers in this day, sin God, you're zeroing in on the truth. Yes, sir. I tell you something else about God's preacher. God's preachers always have wives who are in subjection to their husbands. Always. They're in submission, they're in subjection, and they keep silence in the church. Absolutely. God has never, from Genesis 1 to Revelation, ever called a woman to preach the gospel or to lead a church or to usurp authority in any way over the men of the church or the ways of the church or the program of the church. That's the Word of God. Same Bible says you must be born again. Same gospel declares God is God and Christ is the only Savior. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. And let them learn in silence with all subjection. God said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man. Let your women keep silence in the church. It is not permitted for them to speak or preach. 1 Corinthians 14:34, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner, that's talking about the bishop or the pastor, and tells him to be a man of sobriety, and a man of simplicity, and a man of sincerity, and a man of honesty, and a man grave and sober, and a man in the Word. But said also, in like manner, the women, his wife, and other women in the church, let them adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel. Not with elaborate hairstyles. Neither gold, nor silver, nor expensive clothing. Watch the preachers of this day. Their wives have more to say than they do. They're generally more elaborately decked out and showing the worldliness of their whole existence and their whole taste. And they use the takeover. And it says in the Word that God's prophet has his home, his wife, and his children in subjection and sanity. And his wife is a homemaker, keepers at home, who is an example to the other women who are believers. Now write that down. There are no co-pastors, man and his wife. There's no such animal in the Word of God. God said, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands to God. They're to be the preachers, and they're to be the leaders, and the women are to be the followers. That's what Scripture says. We're going to go by the Word of God. And God's prophet always goes by the Word of God. And if his wife knows God, she'll go by the Word of God. But we've got these evangelists and pastors paired now. The women are doing more leading and preaching and testifying and teaching and causing more turmoil than anyone else. Now stay with me. There are too many obvious signs that some of these preachers are false preachers. Here's another one. God's preacher is not a clown. He is not a clown. He's not a joker. He's not an entertainer. He's a preacher of the Word of the Lord. Most of the church programs today are about 80% music and fun and hallelujahs and clapping the hands and dancing around, and there's very little preaching of the Word going on, and yet God had chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God's preacher is not called and sent to be a clown. He's not called and sent to please men, to make men laugh and clap their hands at his antics and his jokes and his entertainment. God's preacher is not a singer, he's a preacher. He's a preacher, a teacher of the Word of God. He comes declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." Can you imagine Elijah behaving like some of these fellows today who claim to be preachers of God? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul putting on a show, decked out in the fancy duds and diamonds of today's preachers, dancing up and down the aisle, slapping people on the head, talking like these fellows talk? I can't imagine that as the longest stretch of my imagination. I can't put Paul in this character. He was a sober and a sincere man of God who came teaching the Word that men might have something to hold to and to build upon and to rest in, and where to find some kind of hope. If I please men, Paul said, I'm not the servant of Christ. If I'm in the men-pleasing business, God's preacher is not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of the testimony of God. He's not ashamed of the cross of Christ. His chief concern is not to be successful, but to be truthful. He has no ambitions to be successful. When God saved him and made him his child, that's as high as he can go. There's nothing the world can add to him with all of its glitter and glamour and fashion that fadeth away. You can't add anything to God's blessings. When we have Christ, we have everything. We're complete in him. God's preacher is not concerned about numbers. He doesn't count people. One of the severest trials that God ever put David through was because he numbered Israel. He went out there and counted Israel. And we're in the counting business now. If we didn't have numbers to report and numbers to brag about and numbers to impress people, we couldn't get anybody's ear. But God's preacher doesn't care whether they're 2 or 2,000. He wants men to know Christ. And God's preacher will preach the truth. He'll preach the Word of God. He's not ashamed of the absolute sovereignty of God. He tells who God is. He knows who God is. And he talks about the glory of the Lord and the sovereignty and power of the Lord as revealed in the Word of God. His prayer is a lot like the prayer of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He says, "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God, that Thou art God, and I'm Thy servant, that I've done these things at Thy word." God's preacher will preach the fall and sinfulness of the human race. He's not ashamed to declare the truth about men. He's not trying to impress anyone. He's not trying to win their influence or their favor. He's not trying to get a raise. God supports him. He's not trying to keep a lot of unsaved people together in a religious organization. He wants God's people to be manifest and the tares to be manifest. And when he preaches the truth about God and the truth about men, that scripture accomplishes his purpose. He doesn't apologize for the power of God, nor make excuses for the sinfulness of men. He knows there's none good, no, not one, including himself. He knows there's none righteous, no, not one. He knows there's none that seek after God. He knows there's none that understandeth. He knows they're altogether become unprofitable. He knows that man fell in the garden, and the consequences of that fall have reached to every human being. He knows we're shut up to the mercy of God. God's preacher will preach God's covenant of grace in Christ. He's not afraid to use Bible language. He'll talk about God's predestination. He'll talk about God's elective grace. He'll talk about God's covenant. He's not ashamed of those words. He doesn't try to slip up on people and surprise them. He doesn't try to cloak the truth with some kind of intellectual words that nobody understands. He knows salvation's of the Lord. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His own will." And He's not a coward. He says, "I thank God for you, beloved, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." No, you'll never find one of God's preachers compromising with anybody. They can kill him, he'll still preach the truth. They can fire him, he'll preach the truth. And he'll go out singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." He can lose every friend in the world, but God's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's God's preacher. That's God's preacher. He's no compromiser. He'll preach the lordship of Christ in no uncertain terms. He'll preach the walk of faith and holiness in no uncertain terms. He'll preach obedience to the commands of Christ by the power of God's Spirit. He'll preach the effectual call of God's Spirit. He'll preach the perseverance of the saints, and He'll preach the return of Christ. And He won't copy and mimic and imitate the preachers of this world. He got His message from God. They don't influence Him. He doesn't preach anything because Luther preached it, or Calvin preached it, or Spurgeon preached it, or anybody else. He preaches it because God says it. And he's not convinced by the logic and reasoning of human wisdom. His message comes from the Word of God. And he'll preach the gospel. Now listen to me. It's obvious. God's preacher will preach the gospel, and he'll leave conviction in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And he'll leave conversion in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And he'll leave salvation in the hands of the Holy Spirit. He won't drag false professors down an aisle in order to report a lot of converts. He's not in that kind of business. He'll not drag people down the aisle and drag professions of faith out of sinners in order to brag about the success of his ministry. He'll just preach the gospel and leave that gospel to be made effectual by the work of God's Spirit. Like Paul in Acts 20, he said to those people, he said, "I commend you to God. I commend you to God. I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance." To me, these are obvious characteristics of those who are sent of God to be His prophets. Pastors and teachers are sent of God, and it's obvious who many of them are. But the chief evidence given here in 1 John 4 as to how we can determine who is a prophet of God, the chief evidence is what they preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look back at my text. He says, "Beloved," and I know this is serious business, but we're going to have to face our day. We're preaching in 1985, and we've got issues to be dealt with in this day. People to be dealt with. God's Word to be dealt with. He says, "Beloved, believe not every preacher, spirit, but try the preachers, whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, watch this. "Hereby know we the spirit of truth or error. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every preacher that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, my friend, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua. God is my Savior. It was a name given to this person born of Mary at his birth. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins," which is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. "Call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus is God with us. Christ, Jesus Christ, that's the Messiah, Every Old Testament promise, prophecy, and picture of the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He's the Lord from heaven. He's Jesus, the Son of Man. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. All the Old Testament is fulfilled in Him. He died according to the Scriptures. Now, He has come into this world. What does that mean? Jesus, God, Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Christ, the fulfillment of all Scripture, is actually come into this world. Not born only, but He who is and He who was and He who always will be has come into this world. God has visited this world in human flesh. He came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the privilege to become sons of God, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Jesus Christ is come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Father ordained Him, anointed Him, commissioned Him, and sent Him. And He came down here through His perfect life and through His sacrificial death and through His great resurrection and His ascension and mediatorial work to redeem a people. The Father gave Him in the covenant of grace. And God's preacher will tell the truth about Jesus Christ uncompromisingly, boldly, truthfully, and in simplicity, so that men, as they are taught by the Holy Spirit, will turn their faith not to the preacher, but to that Son of God who must increase while we decrease. Now, this has been a plain message, but I have it on tape. If you want to hear it again, give it to a friend. I wish you'd write me. What are we to believe? What are we to believe? The two messages on this tape. Where's your God and what are we to believe? You'll write me this week. Send $2. I'll mail you this tape. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.